Meet Marcus. He is 41 years old and he is good at being useful. He will pay for the dinner, cover the cost, write the check. If a buddy's kid needs a computer, Marcus will find one. If the group needs someone to make it happen, Marcus makes it happen. He is, by anyone's count, a solid guy to know. And yet somehow, at every get-together, every cookout, every work event, Marcus ends up at the edge of the room, not because anyone pushed him there, because that's where a man ends up when he gives from a distance. He helps people, but he never quite lets them in. And the thing he will not say out loud, not to anyone, is that he goes home from those rooms and the quiet is louder than he expected. This episode is about what Marcus is doing and what he is not doing, and the one move that changes both. Here is the idea at the center of this episode, and it is simpler than you think. There are two kinds of giving, and they produce two completely different lives. The first kind keeps people at a safe distance. It is money, mostly, but also doing the task, fixing the thing, handling the problem, anything where you solve it and hand it back and the other person goes on their way. That kind of giving is real help, and there is nothing wrong with it, but it does not pull anyone close. You can do it with people you barely know, and you can do it your whole life and still have no one. The second kind pulls people in. It is the introduction that changes a man's year. It is putting your good name behind someone when they need it. It is teaching a younger guy the thing you learned the hard way, in the seat right next to him. It is showing up, not sending money, but showing up with your two hands on the day somebody needs an extra set of hands. The first kind costs money. The second kind costs something closer to you, your time, your name, your world. And it is the second kind that builds the thing. The first kind never can. A crew of men who actually have each other. Now, and this is important, I am not saying Marcus is wrong or selfish for giving the way he does. The arm's length give makes complete sense if you understand where it comes from. For a lot of men, keeping distance while still being useful feels like the safest version of being in a group. You contribute, so no one can say you don't pull your weight. But you don't open your world to anyone, so no one can reach in and make a mess of it. You stay in control. That is not coldness. That is a man who learned, somewhere along the way, that letting people close is how you end up exposed, disappointed, or carrying someone else's weight on top of your own. The Ronin gave from a distance because the Ronin was alone on the road, and alone on the road, distance is how you survive. The problem is, he is not on the road anymore. He is in rooms full of people who could have his back, and he is still holding them off with a check. The same move that kept him safe out there is the move that keeps him alone in here. So what does a real crew actually run on? What makes the difference between a group of men who are just in the same place and a group of men who would genuinely show up for each other? Here is what it is not. It is not matching tattoos. It is not a group chat. It is not years of history, though years of history can deepen it. A clan, the real thing, runs on a specific kind of giving that keeps going around. Think about a crew you have seen that actually works. The guys who built something together, or went through something hard together, or built a trade together from the ground up. What holds them is not sentiment. It is that they each know, this man will make a call for me. This one will put in a word. That one will show up at 6 in the morning if I need him. Each of them has put something into the center, their time, their name, their reach, and each of them draws from it when they need it. That center is the jar. And the jar is what a group of men has when it becomes a crew instead of just a crowd. Let me bring something in here, because this is not just a feeling. There is real data behind it. When researchers have asked men what they miss most in their adult lives, the answer that keeps coming back is not money, not success, not status. It is close friends. Men in their 30s and 40s report feeling far more alone than they expected to at this point. Not friendless. Many have people around them, but without someone who actually knows them. Without someone they would call if something went wrong at 2 in the morning. The same research keeps finding that men's friendship groups shrink sharply after their mid-20s, and they rarely grow back. That is the thing nobody puts on a billboard. And the reason this matters for this episode is that the shrinking doesn't happen because men stop caring about each other. It happens because men stop doing the kind of giving that builds bonds, the close kind, the open door kind, and replace it with the arm's length kind that is easier to fit into a busy life. The clan does not collapse because men become cold. It collapses because the giving that holds a clan together stops flowing. Now I want to take the skeptic seriously, because this is the smart objection, and it is one a lot of men carry. If the answer is to open your world, make the calls, mentor the younger guys, put your name behind people, won't some of them just use you? Won't you become the guy everybody hits up for favors, the open door that gets walked through and never appreciated? That is a real danger. I am not going to wave it away. Some men will take what you offer and give nothing back. They exist. And if the plan is just give more, open more, trust everyone equally, that plan gets you used. So let me show you what the right shape does with that problem. In a clan, a real crew where giving flows around, you can see who puts in and who only draws out. It is not hard to spot because the shape makes it obvious. The man who only takes shows up when he needs something and disappears when you need something. Over time, that pattern is plain to everyone in the group, not just you. You are not running a charity where your job is to keep giving no matter what. You are part of a crew where the giving goes around, and in that shape, the man who only takes has to answer for it, because the whole crew can see what he does. The clan is not naive. The clan can see. Let's go back to Marcus and watch what happens when he tries the other kind. There is a younger guy at Marcus's job. Call him Devin, 26, capable, trying to find his footing. Marcus knows a man who runs a firm that would be good for Devin to know. For 2 years, Marcus thought about making that call. He didn't. Not for any bad reason, just the usual hesitation. What if it doesn't go well? What if Devin doesn't hold up? What if I'm putting my name on the line for someone I don't know well enough? Those are real concerns. Marcus finally makes the call anyway. Devin meets the man. It goes well. Now something changes. Devin does not just feel thankful in a passing way. He feels that Marcus put something real on the line for him, that Marcus saw him and said yes. A few months later, Devin is helping Marcus move, shows up early, stays late, will not take a dime for it. 6 months after that, Devin introduces Marcus to two people Marcus would never have met on his own. Marcus did not plan any of that. He just opened one door. And something that was not there before started to be there. A real bond, built the way real bonds get built, by one man putting his name and his world behind another man, for real. Let me tell you why that worked, because it is deeper than a nice story. Marcus was useful to everyone before he made that call. But Devin does not just find Marcus useful now. Devin needs Marcus, and that is a completely different thing. Useful men get thanked and forgotten. Needed men have a crew. When you put your name behind someone, when you teach a man something real, when you show up with your hands on the hard day, you wire yourself into that person's life in a way that 100 checks never could. The giving that pulls people close does something else too. It makes you needed in return. Devon, now standing a bit taller because of Marcus's word, becomes someone Marcus can actually lean on. They are in each other's worlds now, not just aware of each other's existence. And that is the difference between being someone people know about and being someone people call. One of the quiet, deep things every man wants, whether he says so or not, is to matter to a specific set of people in a specific way. Not to be famous, not to be praised, to be the one they call. The close kind of giving is how you become that. Now bring this back to you, because the point is not Marcus and Devon. The point is you, right now, in the rooms you are already in. Three honest questions, and actually sit with them. First, where are you giving from a distance when you could give close? Where are you writing the check when the real gift would be the call, the hour, the word? Think of one person, not a category, one actual man. Second, where could you open a door that you have been hesitating on? You probably know someone right now who would gain something real from a connection or an introduction you could make. The hesitation is understandable. Making the call puts your name on something, but consider what 2 years of not making that call has cost. Third, and this is the one that goes against the grain for a lot of men, where could you let someone give close to you? Where could you set the pack down and let someone actually in? Because the jar only works if it goes both ways. A man who only gives and never receives is still running a one-way shape, and a one-way shape always runs dry. The clan gives, and it receives. Both. So here is your one thing this week, and the rule is you cannot spend a dime. One, give. The close kind. Pick one man, one, not a project or a category, one actual person, and give him one thing from the close list. Make the call that gets him the meeting he needs. Spend an hour teaching him the skill you know, cold. Show up on the day he needs an extra set of hands. Put your good word behind him to someone who matters, one of those four. That is it. No tracking, no scorekeeping, no waiting to see what you get back. Just the give. Here is what you will notice. This kind of giving does not drain you the way the wallet does. It takes something closer to you, your name, your time, your reach, but it does not leave you empty. It leaves you in it with someone. And that is the feeling that builds the crew over time, not the feeling of having paid, but the feeling of being in it together. One open door this week. That is the whole ask. So that is what a real crew runs on. Not loyalty as an abstract idea. Loyalty as a specific, repeated act, the call made, the door opened, the word put behind someone, the showing up on the hard day. A clan does not hold together because the men in it feel strongly about brotherhood. It holds together because the giving keeps going around, and because each man in it knows, from firsthand proof, that the others will show up. Marcus spent 2 years at the edge of rooms. He made one call. That is where it starts, one open door. The rest follows from that, one door at a time. Next episode, we get fully practical. We stop talking about the idea of a clan and look at the men already near you, take real stock of what is there, and make the first actual move. Watched over, as always, by Daisy. I will see you there.